The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Because today is Super Sunday, amen? And we're going to talk about winning the game of life. Somebody say, winning the game of life. Hallelujah. And this is all completely inspired from what Brother Mike Barber was talking about this week, amen? And there's a picture of him on the screen there as a player back in the, that was probably the 70s. And he was a tight end for the Houston Oilers before they became the Tennessee Titans. But there he is as a minister. His main thrust is ministering in prisons. Amen. And he doesn't just go to prisons to take pictures of himself ministering to prisoners. He goes there when no one else is looking, and he ministers one-on-one to guys that, you know, we probably wouldn't feel safe walking down the street by, right? But, man, I'll tell you, when you get a big football player in there baptized in the Holy Ghost and just loving people, he's just got such a tender heart for people, and he's tough. Tough and tender. Amen? And he loves Jesus, and he just loves preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people. But he loves football, right? And so he goes and ministers and gets great interviews with Christian athletes during this week. Amen? His main thrust was winning the game of life. And he spent time talking to football players that love God about what is their strategy for winning the game of life. Amen. And what does their faith mean to them? What does their faith in Jesus Christ mean to them? And it got me thinking, that's a great thing to be asking the church, right? What does your faith in Jesus Christ mean to you? Amen. And it's good to just have that kind of like a crock pot, always on. Somebody say, I'm always on. Because you know why? Because somebody may ask you. And I love Pastor Greg Laurie. I heard him, a little brief clip of him on Christian radio this week. And he said, you know, I love going to the movies. He goes, I get the huge popcorn, right? And he said, they just salt and salt and salt and salt, and he goes, they put so much salt on it so that you're going to have to go buy a $10 Coke, right? And he said Christians are supposed to be salty so that when someone's around you, they get thirsty for Jesus. And I thought, what a great illustration. Somebody say, I'm salty. Right? I'm salty. When people are around me, they get thirsty for Jesus. And he talked about people asking, what's different about you? How come you're not stressing about all this stuff that we're all stressing out about? And how come you seem to be so peaceful? How come you always seem happy, right? It's not that you're coming at preaching at people. Amen. Sometimes there'll be opportunities to share words, but a lot of times it's just them watching our lives. Amen. I remember one of the jobs I had as a young man. I was in landscape for a summer. And my boss would show up at the job smelling like booze. he's just happy we're doing the work, right? And there was another kid with me. We were in our 20s. And this other kid was of another faith. No need to mention what the faith is. But we're working together and digging ditches. Man, some of the hardest work I ever did in my life was digging ditches for sprinklers and laying sod and all this kind of stuff. And he'd show up and yell at us and tell us what we're doing wrong and then leave. Well, one day he shows up, and this other guy, he kind of was a chatterbox that we worked with, and I'm just trying to get my job done, and he just chatter, huh? Well, whatever, you know. Well, he shows up, and he goes, I don't remember ever bringing this up to him. And he goes, you know what? I don't believe what either one of you guys talk about, either one of your faiths. But he goes, but if I had to pick one, I'd become a Christian. Because Steve here shuts up and works, and all you do is talk. What was happening? The Lord was ministering to, you know, don't you know the Holy Ghost, that's what we're talking about, the miracle of church. He knows how to unlock anybody. And we may not even be realizing he's working, but he's working, right? And that's what I love about ministries like this. And his son, Brandon Barber, began with this verse. And if you have your Bible, open to Hebrews 12. Somebody say, we're winning the game of life. Somebody today out there is going to win, and somebody's going to go home number two. Praise God, right? But I remember when they interviewed Patrick Mahomes when they won the AFC title, and the first thing almost out of his mouth was, we're not done yet. Somebody say, I'm not done yet. The devil might think he's got a foothold in your life, something he's been having his way on, but somebody say, I'm not done yet. This isn't over yet. Like Rocky Balboa would say, I haven't heard a bell. Right? I'm still up. A lot of the athletes will say NFL stands for not for long, because you're not going to probably last long once you get it. Well, that's something we can be telling the devil every day. Devil, you think you got your way on this planet? Somebody say NFL. Not for long. Not for long, devil. You think you got your way in my family's life? NFL. Somebody say, not for long. Today's the day of salvation, right? But Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and man, I'll tell you what, and don't you know that you and me are in a game of life, and we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. My grandparents are in the cloud. Abraham Lincoln's in the cloud. Martin Luther King Jr.'s in the cloud, right? They're watching us, believers that have gone on before us. But these people are born again. They're in heaven, and now they're cheering for the rest of us to finish strong, to win the game of life. And man, we have a special guest today, and her name is Heaven. Hi, Heaven. Thanks for being here today. And heaven is where we're all going. Amen. That's glorious. There is a celebration coming, but we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Praise God. And they're cheering us on. Go, 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 go. Amen. Hallelujah. So by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I took a wildlife control test this week. And there are traps that are illegal to use in the state of Washington, and one of them is called the snare, because snares kill the animal. They don't just restrain it, they kill it. The design of a snare, and you have to have a special permit if you have to, you can't use a snare on wolves or wolverines or lynx or fishers. Fishers are like little river otter-looking things, but they kill porcupines. I've been studying, doing my homework. And you can't kill them, right? Yeah, good job, Steve. Amen. But it's interesting because there are actual traps I've been studying called snares. And the devil has laid traps out there with one purpose in mind: kill. Right? He steals the word out of people's hearts so then he can come in and kill and destroy. So our job is to do what? Keep the word of God in our hearts. Amen. Keep the word of God before our eyes. Keep the word of God in our ears. Why? Somebody say, because I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And we're not talking about earning your way to heaven. If you're born again, you're in heaven. You're going to heaven. I'm talking about winning in life. Winning against the devil's strategies to kill, steal, and destroy. Somebody say, not me, devil. Not me. I'm your worst nightmare. You come against me. You know, there's some running backs that you'll watch. Like, what's the guy from Tennessee's name, Lane? Well, yeah, Mr. Henry. I mean, Mr. Henry looks like it hurts to tackle him. He's a big dude, man. And if you're a defensive back and you see Mr. Henry, number 22 from the Titans, coming your way, you're thinking, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt him. And that's what the devil ought to feel when he looks at you. Yeah, I should take a shot, but boy, it's going to hurt. It's going to, come on, right? Amen. That's the reputation that we ought to have. Amen. So lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Somebody say it takes endurance, right? I remember a lot of the guys in the NFL will tell you, in order to get to this point in the season, it's about attrition. It's about who's healthy. A lot of teams could have made it, but they were injured, they were beat up, they got, you know, issues or whatever, and they didn't make it. Didn't make it to the big game because they're got too many things going on. But the teams that stay healthy and take care of the fundamentals are the ones that are a lot of times the last two standing, right? Amen. So run this race with endurance. That means I don't quit. Part of winning the game of life is I don't quit. Somebody say, I don't quit. There's no quit in me. Because Jesus isn't quitting on me, so why should I quit on me? That's my biggest challenge, is not quitting on me. Not on you, not on the word. It's because I know me. And then the Lord taught me something. He said, son, I'm not quitting on you, so what business have you got quitting on you? And I'll tell you what, that's why I'm here doing this right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, that's the key to victory right there. Somebody say one thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, somebody say the joy. We got to remind ourselves to be smiling. This is fun winning. Winning is fun. You'll see the guys that are winning, and they'll be smiling. And the guys that are losing will be, oh. I remember the year the Seahawks lost in the last play of the Super Bowl. And Richard Sherman, his face said it all. He was like, oh, what? That didn't just happen. Yes, it did. Interception on the one-yard line. Tom Brady gets another ring. Thank you, Seahawks, right? Oh, man. But I'll tell you what, when you're winning, you got the joy of the Lord. And even if you're going through trials and tribulations and struggles, which the word says we all are going to experience, you're going to overcome that. You're overcoming that because greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. So we look to Jesus, amen, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Whenever I feel like I'm having issues or challenges, I just think of what he had to endure, right? And that he's here with me, and we've got a church praying, and we're a part of a bigger group of believers around the world, and we know how, and just read the end of the book, we already know how it ends. Glory to God. That gets me happy. Amen. It gives me some endurance. Praise the Lord. And he helps us. But the message version is the one that Brother Brandon, Mike Barber's son Brandon, was sharing. And it says this in verse 2. And I put this in your notes. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Glory to God. Amen. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, the exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Don't you love that? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to go through what he did on our behalf again and again and again, item by item. Here's why I'm not quitting, because Jesus endured this. Jesus took the stripes on his back. This is why I'm believing for healing. Jesus took the crown of thorns on his head, pierced his skull. I'm not quitting today. He took the nails in his hands, and he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And we do a little, there's going to be some guys, if you watch out there, that'll be doing a little trash talking too. Little trash talking to the other team. And sometimes we just got to start trash talking the devil and remind him, not for long, not for long. Today's your day to go down, devil. I'm going up and you're going down. We're just passing each other along the way. Spike the ball on his head, right? Take a selfie with him on the ground, right? Amen. Praise God. So what does your relationship with Jesus Christ mean to you? Brother Mike talked to several players, and like I said, you can watch the broadcast yourself, but here's a few points I wanted to look at specifically. What does your relationship with Jesus Christ mean to you? This is what Dustin Colquitt, the Kansas City Chiefs punter, had to say. He allowed his son to die on a cross, who beat death, which makes our Christian faith special. Don't you love that? Because my God beat death. Hallelujah. And he brought up Romans 6:9, Brother Dustin did. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Hallelujah. So we just remind death and the devil and the curse has lost its cling. Amen. Our God defeated death. That makes us special. What makes you so special? Because my faith is in the one who conquered death. I'm his son. You're his daughter, his son. That makes me special. And doesn't mean you can't be special. You could be if you wanted to be. You could change teams. You could become a free agent and come on over to the winning side. Yeah, but I like this stuff on the dark side. Well, that's where you need to take a step of faith and say, you know what, even though I like some of the things the devil's doing, my flesh likes it, I'm going to, by faith, just say this. The truth of God's word, I'm going to respond to that, not how I feel today. And we have to do that in every areas of our lives as believers, right? Even though I may not feel this today, since when is it about what I feel? Faith is not about how I feel. It's about what I believe. And the feelings will follow. Amen, right? Anthony Sherman, Kansas City Chiefs running back, said this. He's left the playbook of life. He'll show you the way if you're ready to listen. He's talking about the Bible. He said, God left us the playbook of life. And he'll show you the way if you're ready to listen. I love it. Amen. Somebody say, I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. And I love the 49ers chaplain. They have a chaplain. Both teams have a chaplain. But he did a little extensive interview with Earl Smith, the 49ers chaplain. And man, what a beautiful spirit about this man. And he said this. These are some things he talked about. He talked about integrity or accountability, integrity, and responsibility, which he calls air. He said he was talking about, hey, listen, our guys aren't just encouraging each other on Saturday when we have our meeting. They have a meeting on Saturdays, the believers of the 49ers. He said they're texting each other. They're encouraging each other all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Sharing the word with each other, encouraging each other in their faith. It's all about accountability, integrity, and responsibility. Air. Don't you know you need air to survive? So these brothers are banded together, helping each other, the believers on the team, right? And there's a lot of them. And Brother Earl said this, if you have those three elements, then all of a sudden you can do something special. I believe when you're asking questions of faith, when you're talking about discipleship, when you're looking to grow more, then it gets contagious. Somebody say, I'm salty. Right? Amen. And he talked about the parable of the mustard seed from Matthew 13, which says this. Looks like I messed up on the verse there a little bit. But Matthew 13, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And he talked about how he got a little bottle, and he said, the little bottle I had was empty at the beginning of the season, but every time we'd win a game, I'd drop a little mustard seed in it. And he goes, now we have, whatever he said, 15 or 14 seeds. And he said, all the guys said practically simultaneously, there's room for one more seed. Somebody say, there's room for more. There's always room for more. And in church, we got to come to church like that. Man, there's room for more in the body of Christ. This isn't Noah's Ark. Us four, no more. Right? Somebody say, there's room for more in the body of Christ. And then one other finishing thought that I really enjoyed with Brother Earl is he was talking about freedom, looking for God's freedom in answers to your prayers today. Have a today mindset. Why not today? Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today is the day of my breakthrough. Today is the day of my miracle. Today is the day my family's coming to Jesus. Today is the day of my financial breakthrough, whatever. Amen? Don't let anybody talk you out of what you're believing God for. Nobody, even your pastor. If a pastor gets up there, well, you shouldn't be. Well, if you see it in the Word and you're claiming it, amen. No, it's between you and your Abba Father. That's why you guard who you share stuff with. Amen? Because other people might, you know, the old pearls before swine thing. They'll trample it down. Oh, you can't believe for that. Oh, what about this person? Oh, what about, oh, you selfish thing. No. It's because my Father loves me. That's why he's building a church. That's why he's building a house. That's why he's healing our bodies. Amen. Glory to God. Well, brother, as we're going to close up with these next couple thoughts here, but Mike Barber said this. He said, the game of life, that's what it's all about. To be a light for him, giving God all the glory and all the honor. And he talked about creating a passion for the gospel. Being passionate about the gospel. These guys today are going to be passionate about winning. Passionate about doing their job. Passionate about executing every fundamental they've ever learned since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. Since they picked up a football, right? They're going to be passionate about this. So we're passionate about Jesus. Passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shining a light for Jesus every day. Amen? And one thing that jumped out at me as we close is the Roman numeral for 54 to me reminds me of the word live. If you look at it, it's L-I-I-V. And it just made me think, man, live. Somebody say, I'm living. I'm living good. We can say living good. My name is Livin' Good, but I've heard living good all my life. Steve, living good. Waiting at the doctor's office, Steve, living good. At, you know, in the back row of science class, Steve, living good. Coaches, living good. It's living good, okay? Living good sounds cool, though, doesn't it? Right? And this, that Roman numeral for 54, L-I-I-V, just jumps out at me and says live. Don't you know, if your faith is in Jesus, you will live. Everybody, speaking of Noah's Ark, everybody who got on the ark, guess what happened? They lived. And Jesus, the church, is kind of like the spiritual Noah's Ark. Because this whole thing, man, is going down, if you haven't noticed. This planet, no matter how nice your car is, it's going to burn. No matter how nice the house is, it's going to burn, man. All of it. But not me. Somebody say, not me. I'm going to live. So we got to watch that we don't fall in love with the stuff on this planet. I don't love my car. I don't love my house. I'm going to eat pizza today, but I'm not in love with pizza. Right? We love God. We love each other. Amen? But that word live, John 14:19 says this, a little while and the world will see me no longer. And guess what? This is just dropping in my spirit right now. Jesus was telling his disciples and the people around him this, a little while and the world will see me no longer. Guess what, church? That's us today. I hate you, Christian. I hate you. Well, guess what? Here's an encouraging thought. In a little while, you won't see me any longer. You can have this place. In a little while, and the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the God we serve.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free, full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.